Blog Talk Radio.
Oh God, we're back. Hide your children.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex, the only show where two total dudes review one total divas show and delight the entire world. I am one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am the top hunk of pop punk, the brains behind America's favorite wrestling-themed Ramones core pop punk band, the Razor Ramones. I am Rex Razor Sharp, and joining me, as always, on this arduous journey of a nightmare, is the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Time, the host of Sign Guys Wrestling Show. He is the Bunsen to my Beaker, so meep, 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 meep. And welcome to the show, the genius known only as Sign Guy. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
I'm glad to be back. It's been a long time.
It's been 2 weeks.
Well, in some people's mind, that's an extreme long time.
This is very true. What have you done with your time off? Where did you travel?
Well, I did actually travel. I had a triple shot, not a true triple shot, but in today's wrestling jargon, a triple shot where I hit Bremerton and then I hit two shows in Portland.
So, did you ever listen to that song, Move to Bremerton, I told you about?
I did listen to that song indeed.
Did it make you feel wistful for the town?
Not especially, because have you ever traveled to Bremerton on a Friday afternoon from Seattle?
Nope.
It's not the most pleasant of journeys.
Well, but perhaps, Sign Guy, if you took heed of the lyrics and you moved to Bremerton, you would save yourself quite the journey.
Possibly, but I'm not actually in the Navy.
I see. So what else has been going on? What's the scuttlebutt around the water cooler?
Well, I was all excited for the brand new episode of The Muppets last night, and then there was no brand new episode of The Muppets last night. None at all.
Oh, this is a travesty. Who do we need to contact here, Sign Guy?
The ABC executives.
They need to know what they've done to you and what they've done to this podcast and what they've done to this world.
They really do. Because I was hoping there would be an update on the condition of Statler from last week. I think he was just messing with Fozzie Bear's injuries, and he was never really injured whatsoever. How can you do that to a poor bear? Just mess with his emotions, get him that upset, and then you're just playing with him.
Huh. These kooky old men, you know, that's just how they are. Why are old men like that?
I don't know. Why would you take a bear's emotions and make him think that he nearly killed a man, get him very despondent?
Uh-huh.
You have him go around all over town spending probably most of his paycheck to buy you things that you say you need to recover. He goes back and he finds just an empty bed with a piece of paper saying sucker on it.
And really, how much money do you think a bear gets paid anyway?
I'm going to guess he gets $400 a shot.
That's quite generous, I think, for what he is and what he does. So that's quite generous, but still, that's not a lot of money.
It really is, and he spent it, probably the bulk of it, on Statler.
I'm thinking that this is just getting out of hand, and the authorities need alerted.
It is, but did you happen to catch Beaker's impersonation of Miss Piggy?
Nope. How did it go?
It was one of the greatest impersonations I have ever seen in all my days.
Yeah.
So you're in agreement of that?
No, I'm just saying yeah, and I want to hear you give an example of said impersonation.
Ah, of Beaker's or of one I've heard in all my days?
Whichever you feel more comfortable with, honestly.
I'll try to do the Beakers, but I probably won't do it justice. But he was up at the bar, getting smashed, and then Professor Bunsen egged him on to do the impersonation, and it went a little like this.
Uh-huh.
Me, 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 me. Moi, me, me, me.
That's pretty excellent.
It really was.
So, do you think we can make it so that he gets the, let's say, shot he deserves in the big time doing these impersonations, maybe in the stead of Bozzy, who I feel has kind of come crashing down as a comedian?
Possibly. I don't know if Beaker would be comfortable in front of a crowd, but... You know, just kicking it at the bar, getting smashed with all the other Muppets. He was fine with it. Because apparently that's a weekly thing for them. They go out, like, Friday night, they get smashed, they make fun of Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog.
Huh. Oh my God, I'm getting something coming across my phone, son guy. Do you hear that?
Is it the Brian and Vinny show theme?
No, this is something else. It sounds like, I can't even begin to explain. It sounds like time travel.
Here it says in heaven.
It sounds like time travel. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Who is this?
Oh, goodness. Hey, guys. JoJo again. How are you guys?
JoJo, the time-traveling mole baby, daughter of Jonathan Coyle and Eva Marie, a.k.a. the mole from The Wind in the Willows. Sign guy, she's here.
It's been way too long.
It has been too long.
But for her, it's only been mere seconds.
That's true. I don't know if you're aware of this, JoJo, the time-traveling mole baby. Rex Razor Sharp has this really weird time perception difficulty. A mere 3 days to most human beings, in actuality, to Rex Sharp is forever.
I understand the confusion. I mean, a lot of times I get confused, too, about how long things have been. You know, people will be like, when was the last time you went to the grocery store? And I'll be like, oh, gosh, it's been 17 years, and it's really only actually been 3 days. So I definitely can commiserate with him, as it is hard to keep track of time. I mean, mine makes a little bit more sense because I travel through time, so I'm not really sure exactly what Rex's mother has done to him to make him confused about time so much, but I do feel his pain.
I think there's some sort of rip in the space-time continuum that causes him to distort time placement, perhaps.
Oh, well, perhaps.
Now, Jojo, before we get into some in-depth conversations with you, I got a couple of things to say. First off, I don't know if you're aware, Jojo, but today, it's a vastly important day in the world of time travel. Are you aware of this, Jojo? I know you travel around so much, you might not know.
Oh, no, no. We're all, the time travel community is very aware of the importance of today.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes,
that's one
yes,
of the reasons why I came to visit you guys today.
On Back to the Future Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to come back and celebrate.
How do you feel that movie portrayed time travel, as in, you know, they had their DeLorean, they had to use plutonium when the flux capacitor, they had the issues when they got back in time into the 1800s, they didn't know what they were going to do, so they had to just sit around and wait for the steam engine to be created, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel this represents time travel to you and what you know of it as?
I mean, I feel like it captures some of what it's like, because you do have to be very careful when you're time traveling. You don't want to make any mistakes, or, you know, I was only trying to make out with your mom or something like that. But, yeah, because that can get a little awkward. You know, being roommates with my mom and all, it definitely got awkward at certain points in time. So, I mean, I think that captured it pretty well. I personally don't understand a lot of the scientific behind the time travel, because Vinny takes care of a lot of that stuff for me. I just kind of show up when I'm ready to time travel, or I I'll text him and I'll say, "Hey, Vinny, I'm ready to go back because I want to celebrate Back to the Future Day with my friends on the podcast," and then he'll send me back. And I really don't know a lot about the scientific, but it seems it's probably pretty accurate.
Right. Now, before we move along to asking you some questions, I also want to congratulate you on what I feel has been your successful mission. Your mission, as we found out, was to thwart the plans of the evil Rosa Mendez, who was plotting to take over the world with use of her gigantic robotic breasts by ruining professional wrestling one blown spot at a time. And what I've noticed is ever since we found out about this, she has mysteriously come up pregnant and is no longer able to be a wrestler. Jojo, did you have anything to do with this pregnancy?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I knew it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fantastic time for us because we accomplished our goal. And, you know, one of the beautiful things about time travel is that you get to help people meet other people. So I definitely had a little bit of a role in putting Rosa together with her now baby daddy. And so that was about the only way that I could come up with that she would quit wrestling, was to put her in a relationship with a man who would actually stay with her.
And so you, of course, gave this fellow a lobotomy prior to introducing them?
Oh, no, he was very stupid already. We didn't have to do anything like that.
Excellent. Well, I congratulate you on your success thus far. We'll continue
Thank
to monitor
you.
What's happening and encourage us. But what I want to see if we can do, Back to the Future offered us a vision of what the future may be. Those of us watching in 1989 when the movie came out, we saw this this artist's interpretation of what 2015 may be. We've made it to 2015. Some of the things are successful, some weren't. But it gave us this image that we could look at. What I want to know if we can do, JoJo, is if you're willing, if Sign Guy and myself, if we can ask you some questions about the future and what we might be looking forward to. Would you be up for that?
I could probably answer a couple questions, but like I said, I have to be very careful about what information I disclose because I don't want anything to affect the future. So, well, I mean, you can ask, but I might not be able to answer a few of them.
Okay, Sign Guy, do you possibly have a question for JoJo about the future?
I do. Now, this one is extremely important, JoJo, the time-traveling old baby, so try to answer it if you can without changing the future.
Okay.
What will be the future varieties of tea that we'll be enjoying in the future?
The future of tea is what you're asking me about?
Yes, the future tea varieties which we will be able to consume.
Well, I must say that we have come pretty far in 2015 at the point that we are right now. We've come pretty far with tea. It's come a long way from what it used to be. There are some exciting new flavors and varieties of tea that are coming down the pike, but I don't want to spoil it for you, Sign Guy, because I know how much you love trying new teas and everything. But maybe I'll send you a package with a few of my favorites from 2032. That was a really good year for teas.
What kind of flavors would we be looking at here? Do you know?
Oh, I know, but I really would prefer to surprise him.
Oh, okay. Sign Guy, what kind of tea?
I don't want anybody
to
come up with these ideas too soon. With everyone listening to the podcast, I'm afraid someone might steal some of these ideas before they're really supposed to come.
Yeah, she's got a point there.
What kind of teas do you think you might be looking forward to in this shipment?
I don't know because I don't know what will be available in 2032.
I'm thinking there's going to be some sort of tea that gives you super intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Like that limitless pill, you know? There's like a tea, but for that limitless thing, and you take this tea, and then your possibilities are limitless.
Well, all I'll say about tea is that there is some really exciting tea technology that comes fantastic. I'm actually enjoying glass tea right now.
Wait a minute. What if tea isn't like the tea we know of as today, Sign Guy? What if they take their tea in a different manner?
I don't know, because tea's been around for centuries. I don't see it in the next 17 years changing dramatically. They can come up with new flavors, new varieties, but tea is tea.
I think you're going to have to wait and see, Sign Guy, because I think you're going to be enjoying teenamas in just a few years, buddy. So enjoy your butt chugging of your teenamas.
All right.
Oh, my.
Now, JoJo, he got to ask about the tea. I want to get a little more serious here.
There's nothing more serious than tea.
Let me set you straight. Is Bray Wyatt dead? Is he dead of a heart attack yet?
No, unfortunately. You are going to continue seeing Bray Wyatt on your TV weekly, multiple times a week, really, for a long, long time. I'm really sorry to say.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, I want to know, how many more years do I kill myself then? Is it 2, 3?
Oh, no, you won't die from a heart attack.
No. I mean kill myself.
I already said too much. I shouldn't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You might want to consider the number of cheeseburgers that you consume a week.
No! How many is too many cheeseburgers to consume a week?
Well, let's just say that how many you consume are just a few too many. So you might consider cutting back a little bit, or, you know, things may happen.
You really are going to tell me that 6 cheeseburgers a week is too many cheeseburgers?
Maybe 1 or 2 too many, yeah.
I'm glad that you've also become a doctor in the future, JoJo. Thanks a lot. Fine guy, what else do you want to ask this Dr. JoJo?
Oh, maybe she's not a doctor. Maybe she studied nutrition in the future.
Yeah. That's true, maybe.
Yes.
What do you want to know,
JoJo,
about,
I have a question for you. It was something that we went into in-depth in episode 10 of Total Dudes. You'll be able to shed light on this because it involves you.
Okay.
Was the boyfriend that you had in the second episode of Total Divas some sort of mental patient?
No, he wasn't a mental patient. He was just very young, and he was pretty dumb, too. He was one of the candidates that I thought of for impregnating Rosa, because he was quite stupid. Not quite as stupid as the one I found, but he was up there as one of the candidates for the stupidest first people I've ever met. But, he wasn't a mental patient or anything like that. He was very, very, very stupid. Very stupid. And I was very young then, so, you know, I fell for his charming demeanor. Definitely wasn't his good looks, that's for sure, guys.
Do you really think he could have impregnated Rosa? Because I don't think he would have been able to understand what to do to get that far.
Well, that was part of my concern. He definitely was not adept in that area.
Interesting. Interesting. I just will ask one more question, and then I'll let Sign Guy see what else he wants to ask about. I just want to know, in the future, what year are we talking about here? In the future? Like, what year?
I've been to most years.
Okay. Well, then, how many more years do I have to do the stupid podcast?
Oh.
Oh, no. That was not a good laugh.
Well, 7.
7 more years?
Yeah. But don't worry, guys. I mean, I've come back and visit you throughout those 7 years.
Do we ever get more than 5 listeners?
Oh, no. No.
Sign Guy, you go for it, Sign Guy. Whatever you want to know. I'm crushed.
Sorry. That's one of the bad things about asking questions about the future. They're not always the answers that you want to hear.
Yeah, she's got you there.
Apologize.
All right. I'm going to ask this one for one of the 5 listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say there's, I don't know, let's say a drummer for a wrestling-themed remote core pop-punk band.
Yeah.
And he's got this stalker. Let's call her Pinky Mace. Now, in the future, would this... this stalker, allegedly, have any chance of wooing the alleged drummer and living happily ever after together alone forever, which would probably be about 3 days?
I would have to say no. One of the reasons being she never seems to have access to a computer. And also seems to have trouble ordering pizza, which would be a big deterrent for Rex. I'm assuming you're talking about him, since he is literally the only drummer for a wrestling themed Ramones core pop punk band.
There could be upwards of three.
Happen. Oh, no. There's one, and there will only ever be one. No one else would ever do anything like that. I don't think that's ever going to happen. Plus, there's a distance issue, and it seems like travel is a problem, too. So I'm going to have to say that that's a no, and I know that's going to be very disappointing. But, no.
Well, not for me. I was asking strictly for one of the five listeners.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, sometimes things just don't work out. Like I said, unfortunately, sometimes you get bad news when you ask about the future. I feel like this whole thing's been a real big downer. This is supposed to be like a celebratory day for time travel, and I feel like I've just brought you guys a bunch of bad news.
No, I think time travel is a load of bullshit. I swear to God, I'm not doing this show for 7 years. I swear to God, I don't eat too many cheeseburgers. I swear to God that if you think that Roman Reigns is not going to kill Bray Wyatt this Sunday at Hell in a Cell, and I'll never have to see that fat turd again, then you're wrong, JoJo. Your time-traveling bullshit is wrong.
Well, that's not a very nice thing to say. I mean, hey, I traveled a long way to get here.
Maybe you travel into a different dimension. Did you ever think of that?
I've considered that before, but I really feel like most of the time I stay in this dimension, just different times. I know that you're very upset about the answers to your questions, Rex, but there's no reason to be rude when I've traveled so far.
I believe in you, JoJo. Rex is just upset that he's not going to get
you.
To live happily ever after with an alleged stalker. But
I know. Thank you.
I believe
you
in you more than I believe in the movie Back to the Future, because that was proven to be 100% false, because there
Absolutely.
Is no possibility whatsoever in the entire world that Chicago could have played Miami in the World Series, because they're both in the National League. And as everyone knows, the Cubs will never win. Their key motto is wait till next year.
Exactly. I always say that, son guy. How did you know that?
Well, I may have been tipped off by someone that heard you say it in the future.
Oh. Well, but yeah, the Cubs are down 6-0 right now in their deciding game. So, yeah, Back to the Future is a load of shit. But, JoJo, I think you probably have it right. It's hard for me to accept some of this. But, JoJo, we appreciate you stopping by. We'll have you again soon. Later on the season. I mean, we're looking at the second season of the show. We don't have a lot to care about with it, so we'll bring you back again later on, okay, JoJo?
All right. Well, I'm sorry that I upset you so much, but I hope that you guys will have me back in the future.
Would you like to come back for episode 43?
When's episode 43?
Well, episode 43 is between episode 42 and episode 44.
But what number are we on?
35?
Sure, put me on the calendar.
Aha, I shall.
All right. Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure. I've got to get going now, though, because Benny's waiting on me, and he's got my machine ready to go.
I know he knows this already, since it's the future, and he's clearly listened to the show, but will you just let him know again that I love him?
I'll tell him.
Thanks.
All right, guys.
Thanks.
I really have to go, though, because if I miss this, I'm going to be in big trouble. Okay?
Bye, JoJo. Thank you again for joining us.
All right. Bye, guys. Talk to you later.
Wow. She gave you some bad news.
Oh, I got the worst news. I'm going to die because of cheeseburgers. Oh, I'm gonna have to watch Bray Wyatt until I die. Everything's terrible in my future.
And you don't get to live happily ever after with an alleged stalker.
Listen, there's no living happily ever after with that.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Let's move along. We got to talk about the episode we watched, Total Divas, from March 16th, 2014, also known as Without John. You know what? I think it's time for you to hit that music.
It's trying. It's trying.
Boom. Oh, that's the wrong one.
And Brown Pop is in. Ah, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
This is the segment of the show where we take a scene from the episode of Total Divas we watched. We transcribe said scene, and we reenact it for you, the listener, at no additional cost. It's free! Tonight's scene will feature myself as Nicole Garcia Bella, and it will feature Sign Guy as Bree, worst human to ever take a breath of air, Garcia Bella. And scene. Hey, girlie, can I talk to you real quick?
Am I good? Thanks. What's up?
The ceiling. First of all, your fiance made me scared that I was going to get mercury poison.
What?
Mercury poison. I was eating salmon and catering.
Well, that's a big issue in the ocean right now.
Oh, God. Anyways, you know this is hard for me to say. So, whatever. I'm just going to say it. I just feel like the timing's been, not that it's bad, but I guess because of all your wedding talk is what made me voice my thoughts to John. That doesn't turn out how I would like. I mean, nothing's worse than hearing the man you love be like, I will never be married again. I will not have kids. That's tough, and that sucks.
It does.
I know I've vented a lot to you about John and I, and I have a struggle inside that I'm going through, and it's not your fault. I can't blame you, and I'm not blaming you. But it's just that it's so hard for me right now. I've never felt more confused in my life. Do I leave the man I love, or do I stay with him and just sacrifice children and marriage? I have no idea what to do.
One, I want to make sure you think really hard because it just happened.
Oh, I agree. It just sucks. Like, to know, like, I would walk away from this guy because of marriage and kids? Life just doesn't seem right.
You don't think you'll wake up one morning with regret?
I don't even know. I don't know, I'm just a pussy fart cock sniffer. I'm a mess.
You're not a mess.
Damn. And scene. Fine guy, you wanted me to really explore that beat. How do you think I did?
I would say you probably nailed half of it.
The pussy farting or the cock sniffing?
Half of one and half of the other.
Pussy sniffing cart, cock farter.
Yeah.
Sign guy, I know what this was, so I don't need to ask you. What I do need to tell you is that this mercury poisoning segment, where Nikki's like, Brian was telling me that mercury poisoning is a big deal, I should worry about it. And then when Bree says, well, that's a big issue in the ocean right now. Like, she knows a fucking thing about a goddamn ocean. You could point at a fucking ocean and she'd say, what's that, a giant pool? She doesn't know shit. And when she acted like she knew what was happening there, that was infuriating. So I just wanted to get that out real quick.
I think what that was, I'm like 95% sure this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
She was at home with Brian one day, and he's reading the newspaper. And he's like, did you hear what's happening in the ocean today? And he listed about 10 things, and she memorized a part about salmon. And so she's like, well, that's a big issue, because she heard Brian say it, and that was like the one in 10 things that he said that was a big issue in the ocean from that article that she committed to memory.
Hmm. Well, good rationale. It could be true, or she just heard something and said, oh, yeah, I know about that. I know about everything. I'm Rubella. Regardless, hey, it's the debut of Summer Rae on Total Divas. Let's give her a hand. Summer Rae. All right, sign guy. Oh, were you giving her a hand somewhere else? What was that sound?
Well, it was the hand of Summer Rae. It was her debut appearance.
Oh, that was definitely your hand, but I'm not sure where it was. Whew. Anyways, fine guy.
It was in the house.
Oh, it was in the house, that's for sure. Who did you hate? Who did you hate, sign guy?
Number one was clear cut this week, Eva Marie.
Okay, see, here's the thing. I hated her, too. I think I hated everyone on this episode, pretty much. Like, it was a real struggle to like anybody. But Eva Marie, I don't think she would crack my top four even, so go for it. I know why she sucks, but go for it.
Well, they continued season two's premiere episode from season one's finale.
Mm-hmm.
And when we last left Eva Marie and Jonathan Coyle, they had a run-in with Eva's parents where they didn't approve of them being engaged. So Eva said, well, let's just get married. So she got married, and she kept it secret from everyone, except she was flashing the ring all over the place. So everyone was noticing the ring. And like, oh, are you married? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, but don't tell my parents, because they don't know, and they'll never find out, because they're stupid people, apparently. And so she kept it secret, but then the mother wanted to come to visit Eva Marie because apparently Eva's mother has some sort of special power where if she hears the voice, she knows all of the feelings that you have hidden in your body that are secret to her. But she can only do that in person, hearing the voice, apparently. So Eva's like, well, okay, come on over. And then Jonathan tried to reason with Eva Marie, and he's like, but aren't they going to notice that we're living together as husband and wife? And Eva Marie's like, no, because I've seen really bad sitcoms in my day, and once on Three's Company, when the mother and father were coming, they threw Jack Tripper out of the house with all of his clothes. So we'll do that. And Jonathan said, but this is real life. And Eva Marie said, shut up. It worked on Three's Company until Jack had to come in out of that rainstorm and the mother caught him. So she makes Jonathan pack all of his belongings and go to a hotel in his hometown, won't give access to him to the vehicle, so he's got to take the bus everywhere. And then when he comes over, she still hasn't told her family that, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm married. They figure it out eventually, and they get upset. And so he was like, well, let's just go over there in like 3 hours. I'm sure they'll have forgotten the whole thing by then. But they hadn't. They hadn't forgotten. And then poor Freddie Barry Nelson, who's just trying to not have an ulcer, just trying to stay calm. He's in the middle of this huge shouting match, back and forth, as they're shouting every sin that the children have ever broken in their lives. And he's just sitting there hating his life, saying, why did I not have a vasectomy when I was 20? And he just keeps wondering that to himself over and over. And Eva Marie just keeps on and on with the brothers. And it was just a horrible, horrible scene. But it could have been prevented if Eva Marie had called the parents and say, hey, I know you didn't approve, but we're married, so there's nothing you can do except, you know, invite us to Thanksgiving if you want to have us over. If not, you know, I'll be an adult about it. But no, she didn't do that. She said, what would Jack Tripper, Chrissy, and Janet do in this situation? And she said, I remember the episode when Chrissy's mother came to visit. We'll do that. I'm surprised Jonathan didn't stand outside in the rain with a lampshade on his head, pretending to be a lamp, as Freddie Barry Nelson turned him off and walked into the spare room.
Well, while we're here, while we're at this, I'm going to jump down my list a little bit to, as the episode went on, they weren't in my list to begin with, but as the episode went on, they became my bonus mention, and it's Eva Marie's horrible fucking brothers. The two
heckle... they appear later in my list.
Yes, those two fucking Heckle and Jekyll piece of shit motherfuckers are the worst. Like, I think I might dislike them more than Brie Bella.
Are you saying Bella dislikes them, or are you saying you dislike them more than you like Brie Bella?
Well, I think Brie Bella dislikes them because she dislikes everyone that isn't her, but I thought for a moment I might dislike them more than I also dislike Brie Bella, but it is not so. But these two shitbirds show up to Eva Marie's apartment, and the first thing this asshole says when he walks in says, oh, nice to see Jonathan takes pictures with shirts on. What in the world does that even mean? Why would you even comment like that? It's nice to see
he
takes pictures.
Well, he was referencing when Jonathan went to the dinner and he just had the hoodie.
But that's what he had in the pictures.
I know. I didn't understand it either.
It made no sense. So I don't know what that meant. And then he immediately goes, so how's your boo? Is that what you call him, your boo? It's like, God, I hate that fucking pig, man, that miserable, wretched clown. And then Jonathan shows up. And so these two dumbasses decide they have to continue interrogating Jonathan again for whatever reason. Like, before he shows up, they're like, well, you know, and when Jonathan gets here, we're going to have to continue our conversation we were having. We're going to have to, because we're your fucking brothers, and our opinions matter to you in any way. So, this happens. They have their moment in the house. It blows up. Old Freddie Barry's like, I'm going to go lay down. He's had enough of these idiots. So, we then get the scene where they show up to his hotel, Eva and Jonathan, and these dipshits are all sitting around outside again. And old Heckle and Jekyll flapping jaw idiots are there. And they get fucking pissed because their dad didn't give his blessing to his daughter to get married. These two dipshits care. You know what? If my parents didn't give their blessing for my sister to get married, I don't care at all, because my sister's an adult and she's made plenty of stupid decisions and she'll probably make plenty more, but that's her life. She's an adult. you didn't get his blessing. You didn't get his blessing. And then John just tells these two goddamn idiots whatever they think doesn't matter to him in the least bit, and they get livid. They can't stand the fact that Jonathan doesn't care what these two idiots think. And then the one's like, I'm not cool with that. You didn't get the blessing. And these two fucking Tweedledum and Tweedledumber motherfuckers, they think they should be the primary contact when they did get married. They're furious that Eva Marie did not call them immediately when she got married. So listen, you two dumbasses, you're not primary, you're not secondary, you're not thirdary, you're not slightly important at all. She's a 29-year-old adult, not an 18-year-old making some sort of crazy, rash, teenage, wackadoo decision, and maybe she could use some guidance. She's fucking 29, and these idiots still think they should have some input into her life because they're misogynistic little pieces of fuck shit, and I hate them. So anything you want to add, funny guy?
Now, are you saying that your sister did not get the blessing?
My sister?
Yeah.
Oh, my sister will never get married.
All right.
No one good. I'm joking if you're listening. I don't think she listens, but if she is, I'm joking. But she'll never be married.
Yeah. Well, maybe the stalker will move on to her. Maybe she's just going to go through the family.
Yuck. All right, so anything you want to add about Heckle and Jekyll there?
Well, I'll just jump into it. I'll skip one for right now. But on my number three, I had Nate because I hated him way more than I hated the other guy.
Yeah.
I didn't like the other guy at all. But Nate was the one that was the loudest and the one that just, like, had to make the argument, just had to be in an argument because they're like, oh, so good to be able to talk to you without your boo around. Like,
yeah.
Like it had never happened before ever. They couldn't talk to her without Jonathan being there because I guess he's never heard of a telephone. So, you know, impossible apparently. And then he's like, oh, where's your boo? Is that what you call him? Cause, like trying to mock what she would call Jonathan because apparently,
yes,
you know, it matters to him what she calls Jonathan. And like you said, it threw me when he's like, oh, glad to see you can take pictures with a shirt on. And he's not wearing a shirt. He's wearing the same hoodie he had at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Exact same hoodie.
Exact same one.
They were probably taken at Thanksgiving. They were probably taken there at the house. And they just put a background in the picture and hung it on the wall. But this guy was acting like it was a completely different picture and there was like a different outfit, but there wasn't. And when they get to the hotel, he just keeps going and going and going with the argument. And then when Eva Marie makes a point, well, if you're worried about this, you guys are just living with a couple of broads. You're not married. And then it's like, oh, it's not about us. Not about us. Kind of like, don't mention that to Dad. We'll get in trouble. He'll ground us. Because apparently this guy that looked to be, I don't know, 35, 36, 37, has to get permission from the dad to have the broad in the house. He probably does the Three's Company thing. Maybe that's where Eva saw it. He was like, Eva, help me throw all my girlfriend's clothes off the balcony before Dad gets here. And they're just tossing pumps and they're tossing dresses off the balcony. That's probably where she got it, but this guy is like, just livid at his sister. Dad, she's married. She's married, Dad. Dad, look what Eva did. Dad.
Ugh.
And the guy, he looked like Kevin Owens' long-lost brother. Cause did you see the gut on that guy?
No.
Yeah, it looked like he was a few months pregnant.
Oh, my. All right, so who else did you hate?
Well, number two, I had Natty.
Yeah.
No.
Natty made my list there in that spot, too. But, you know, after going back over it, those idiot brothers would have been number two for sure.
I dislike Natty worse because
yeah.
This was an early sign. I mean, this most recent season pretty much sealed it for me. But
mm-hmm.
if you watch some of these older shows, like the first episode of season two, they were documenting Natalia being a complete alcoholic. Now, they were at this bar, and I'm not even sure where they were at the time, New Orleans, I think it said. And she's just grinding on Vinny, just dancing dirty with Vinny.
Yeah.
So Arion tries
yeah.
to get her to stop, and Natty just starts screaming at her. So Arion drags her to the street, and then Arion's like, there's not enough people paying attention to us, so I'll start screaming and dry humping you.
Mm.
And Natty's like, that's a great idea. And so a cop comes to break it up, and Natty just runs away from the cop.
Pause. While we're right here, this cop is my number three. The dickhead cop that threatens to take Natty and Cameron to jail. All these two people were doing was being slightly loud outside of a loud club. And this fucking guy storms over and tells them, you stop having fun. I'm going to take you to jail and arrest you for having fun? I don't know. What was he going to arrest him for?
I'm going to guess public intoxication.
Do you know Cameron was publicly intoxicated?
He probably suspected when she was dry humping Natalia.
I've seen people do all sorts of stuff like that. They're just having fun with their friends. What harm were they causing to anyone in the world?
Well, the little children walking by were probably mortified.
Late at night at a cloud club, there were children?
Possibly. I don't know.
No.
I'm just throwing out possibilities.
This guy was a dick, and I hope he... Never mind. I hope he has a bad night. Continue, though. Continue. I didn't want to we were right there, and I figured I'd just get that one out of the way real quick.
Well, Natalia runs down the stairs to this club, and instead of being terrified that, hey, I was almost arrested, I probably would have been in trouble with WWE, anything like that, she just starts laughing uncontrollably. Just thought it was the funniest thing in the entire world. Oh, I almost went to jail. I'm really drunk. I was grinding on Vinny. And, no, she didn't get that, hey, Arion's really upset with me because I'm, like, trying to seduce her boyfriend. And Arion knew that Natalia obviously was brain damaged and an alcoholic at this point because she had to really very slowly explain whom TJ was. As slow as she could, she's like, you have to focus on TJ. TJ is your man. Natty didn't know who TJ was at that point. She could have just looked at some random guy that had a red mullet, and she would have been like, oh, TJ, oh, I'm glad you're here. She didn't know who TJ was, clearly.
No,
but
definitely
then when,
not.
And then when Brie Bella is suggesting to them that they have a threesome, you could tell Natty was the only one who was like, oh, that's a great idea, Brie. Thanks for pointing that out. Arion and Vinny wanted no part of that. They didn't want to go anywhere near that. But Natalia, clearly, she was thinking might be Brie's best idea ever because she wanted some more of Vinny.
Yes.
Vinny was like, I think I'll skip those diseases. But then later, it's the Bella's 30th birthday party. So Natalia shows up, and when the Bellas are talking about something kind of serious, Natty's there eavesdropping. So she announces as loud as she's going to go take a dump. She's like, well, this is awkward. How can it be less awkward? I know. I'll tell everyone in the entire house, all these strangers. And she did. Thought nothing of it. She's like, hey, everyone in this house I've never met. Hey, Bella's mom. They didn't care, but there she is announcing it. Gonna take a dump.
Gotta go take a Big Johnny. Gotta go take a Big Johnny in the toilet, Bella's mom.
Yeah, just happy as could be to share that info. Happy as could be. And then she gets in the limousine to go to the after party. She's like, I'm drunk.
Yeah.
She's already wasted. She hadn't even got to the bar yet, but she's already wasted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much Natty in a nutshell right there.
All right, Natty.
Although she also, one other thing I hated, she's talking about Summer Rae, and she had a match with Summer Rae here in Seattle, and in her talking head segment, she says, matches work better when there's one chief and one Indian, and she does some weird sign language that I didn't understand, and I just kept looking at her, and I just kept saying, the chief would also be an Indian, because he's an Indian chief. She didn't know how to answer that, because it was taped, but still, it happened over and over.
Old Natty. All right. Well, settle in, bud. It's time for my other hate. That's Brie Bella. Now, Brie Bella sees that Eva Marie is engaged and then is talking about a ring. Like, oh, the ring, yeah. Didn't she get something added to it? Oh, my God, you're married? So when she knows she's married, which she's not supposed to be, she starts needling her about it because she loves to just needle people about things that are a problem for them. When her sister has problems with her John Cena trouble, she's like, needle her. You know, when Daniel Bryan's having neck crawl, she's just like, needle it. So it's like, oh, Eva Marie has problems with her family? Let's needle it. Oh, my God. Won't they be mad that you did this wedding without them knowing? Oh, my God. You didn't tell them? Oh, my God. You're never going to tell? Oh. Like, what a jerk. Just back off, you know? Just let the lady have her life. So then, once she finds out that Eva Marie is married and has not told her family, she decides that she should grab her sister and these two gossip dummies should go run around backstage and tell every single person they come across that Eva got married and hasn't told her family. As if it is any of their business in the slightest. Oh, hey. Hey, Cameron, guess what? She's married. Naomi, she's married. Hey, catering guy, she's married. R-Truth dressed up like an elephant filming Swerve. She's married. They just tell everyone. Because that's who Brie Bella is. And we get another
example.
They didn't
have Swerve back then, though.
They were filming it. They might have been. Who knows? Hey, relax. There's time traveling in this world we exist now. Relax. We get more proof of Brie taking such unbridled joy in this sort of thing when she gets a text from John Cena at their birthday party, and she pauses for a second, like, man, why would John text me? I should immediately go and let Nikki know on her birthday that her estranged boyfriend is sending me texts and that he's not sending her anything. And then I should ask her, like, what do you think that means? Like, Brie doesn't even take time to think about this, what she should say, what she should do, if she should even go do it, if she should just keep it to herself for the night, let her sister have her fun. No, she just immediately gets stoked and storms around finding her sister so she can just drop this bombshell on her and help to just ruin her night a little bit more. So that's the kind of person Bree Bella is. And then next, at the scene with Natty and Cameron and Vinny, and they've been having their problems, so Bree comes up and is like, hey, when are you three going to have a threesome? Because she just loves needling people when they're having problems. There was a problem there, so Bree saw it and felt the need to insert herself into it so she could just needle them. Oh, are you going to have a threesome? You guys are the worst. I'm so sorry. I'm Bree Bella. And it just gets worse from here, sign guy, because this horrible woman makes her sister, who's struggling with marriage issues, with relationship problems, is in a very, very low mental state, very sad, very depressed, very down and out. And so she says, go with me shopping for my wedding registry. Who would do that? You know your sister's miserable because of all this. But Bree Bella says, oh, it's another chance to needle somebody. Ooh, I can really stick it in, really make it worse for her. Hey, Nikki, come with me while I go look at all this wedding stuff and we rub in all this wedding stuff in your face. And then when we ask you what you think about it and you don't like it, we can be really shitty to you about it like it's your fault because we like to blame you for our shitty behavior. So they're at the store and they ask Nikki, what do you think about this stupid-ass store with organic oyster shuckers and blankets made out of old poopy-ass underwear? And she's like, it's not for me. I'm not having fun. And they get mad at her. It's infuriating. How can you get mad at someone when you know you have to know? Fine guy, help me here. What do you think?
It was actually clean scraps of underwear that they recycled into these blankets. It wasn't used underwear.
Sure it was.
It was. They explained it in detail.
Prove it. You're going to believe that woman who's trying to hawk organic oyster shuckers?
Yes.
I disagree.
Well, why don't you come out here and we'll go to Newbie Green and we'll examine it.
Not going to happen. I would never set foot in that store.
Oh, because you might be wrong. Aha.
No, because it probably smells like dirt that's been fucked by a hobo.
It does not.
It does not.
Clearly it does not.
But I don't know.
Yeah. It was recycled scraps. Scraps that the manufacturer couldn't make into actual pairs of underwear, so they recycled
it. Some fat-ass guy with the skid marks had his underwear just ripped to shreds. He's like, here's the scraps. They're like, oh, my God, these smell like Cheetos soaked in garbage juice. Ugh, we can't use these. Like, wait a minute. No, I think we can. Let's put them into a blanket and sell them to dumbass fucking yuppies who believe in this organic fucking recycling bullshit, and we can be billionaires. And then Daniel Bryan goes to sleep at night on his fucking Cheetos skid mark blanket. That's a fact.
The scraps are from the manufacturer.
Yeah,
not from some guy
that
like from the different manufacturers of underwear, when they get scrap material, they're like, well, it's too small of a piece to make a pair of shorts. We'll send it off to the recycling people.
Dude, if you want to sleep on turds, go for it. But I'm not messing around with this old shitty turd fucking blanket. All right, did you hate anybody
else? I might
have
to rethink your Halloween gift.
Oh, no. Okay, who else did you hate?
Well, let's see. I believe we may have... Yeah, we pretty much covered all three of them because Nate was number three.
All right, who'd you like then?
Number three, I had Naomi.
Okay.
Now, / Trinity. Now, in this episode, she was the voice of marriage counseling because she saw there's something not right with Eva Marie, so she's asking.
Mm-hmm.
Eva Marie explains the plot of Three's Company she's trying to recreate, where Chrissy's mother comes to visit and Jack has to dive out onto the balcony in the rain, but Mr. Furley has already explained everything and everything's fine in the end. And Trinity just takes it all in, and she's like, well, you probably should just tell the parents
mm-hmm.
and get it over with because you're all adults here.
Mm-hmm.
And Eva Marie's like, no, did you not see the episode of Three's Company? It's not how we do things. We throw the clothes off the balcony in the rain. Send them to a Russian movie marathon. That's how we do it. That's what Jack Tripper did. And Trinity's like, but it'd be a lot simpler in the long run if you just tell them, hey, I'm married now, and let them deal with it, rather than every time they come to visit you for the rest of your entire natural life, you, like, shove your husband into a closet and lock it, which was the plan, apparently.
It was
Eva Marie
plan.
Was like, okay, when we're 60 years old and our parents come over to celebrate Hanukkah, I'll just have Jonathan, like, locked into a broom closet at the gym.
Yes.
They won't notice because he won't be here. And they'll say, hey, why did you never get married? And I'll just say, I don't know, and laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be canned laughter in the background because my life will be just like Three's Company. Trinity didn't buy that. She was like, no, I think it's just better if you just, you know, be an adult. Be an adult.
I'm with you. Because my top, Jonathan Coyle, while I didn't see him eating anything, he does tell Eva Marie, as the personification of rational theorization, that she needs to tell her parents she's an adult, she's married, she has a husband, and that's embarrassing. She wants to hide her husband from her parents. So Jonathan Coyle, right off the bat, that's enough to make me say, hey, I like you. I mean, I wish he would have been eating some steaks. I wish he would have been eating some burgers. I wish he would have been eating some chicken breasts. Just eating anything, even just a protein shake would have been nice, but we'll take what we can get.
He was going to have a protein shake, and she threw his protein powder in a bag.
That's true. That's true. So we were – that's another reason to add Eva Marie to the bottom list then. She ruined us the opportunity to see Jonathan Coyle eating. All right, who else?
Well, number two, I had Brian.
Mm-hmm. He was he was kind of in between for me, but go ahead.
Mainly because he was so genuinely excited for these oyster shuckers, I just couldn't not put him on my list because he was just thrilled beyond belief that they had these oyster shuckers. It was like the greatest thing that he'd ever seen in his life.
I read in his book that those things were a delicacy for him in his childhood. What are they, razor clams?
Yes.
Is that, yeah, so that would be fairly similar, I assume. I don't know.
Kind of, sort of. But he was just so thrilled that they made these. You could see the genuine excitement. And it's not like
mm-hmm.
it was a high-priced ticket item, I'm sure. It was probably under $30, so it wasn't like it was like some huge fancy thing that people were going to have to spend thousands of dollars on to
mm-hmm.
get them a gift. He just wanted oyster shuckers. That's all he wanted for his wedding. It's like, hey, I'll register here, and maybe if I'm really, really fortunate, someone will think enough of me to get me these oyster shuckers.
Agreed.
And that's all he wanted. He didn't, it wasn't like Brie Bella where she's like, you only spent this much, and I know because I returned it and got the cash back. What's wrong with you? Daniel Bryan just wanted the oyster shuckers. He didn't care who got it on that list.
Okay.
That's all
I
he wanted.
He was kind of horrible other points of the episode, but, yeah, I agree with that moment. My actual number one was Vinny. Oh, Vinny. Almost the first thing when I started this episode I saw was Vinny, and it just made me so happy. Because the fact he's not part of the show anymore, it's been so long since I've seen him, that's garbage. So to see him made me happy because he was carrying her bags or something. And then, I didn't know if we'd see him again, but then we get their Brie mode night where he's just doing his dancing and everyone's cheering him on and he's so happy and having fun and everyone loves him and I love him and it just makes everybody happy. So that was great.
Maddie was literally trying to love him.
I feel bad that he was dehumanized by Natty, but otherwise, great, great. Vinny always makes me happy, always. All right, who else for you?
My number one, the Space Needle.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't seen often, but it made a few appearances during the course of the episode, and it just stood there tall and proud, displaying its Seattle iconery for all the world to see as they filmed the better part of Total Divas that episode in Seattle, including the total dialogue, which we recreated was from, in fact, inside of Key Arena. You know, Key Arena just, I don't know, maybe couple hundred yards away from the Space Needle, if that. It's all right there at the city center.
What's the deal with the Space Needle? Like, what's in the top of it? A bunch of wigs?
No, a restaurant.
No, it's a bunch of wigs.
No, it's a restaurant.
No,
and the top,
it's a wig storage facility, right?
No, and the top is a restaurant. It's a rotating restaurant, so it just kind of spins. It's on like a really slow spin because they had trouble before with people getting sick while they ate. So it's a slow
spin. So where do they put the wigs?
In the bottom. In
the bottom
in the
of it.
Space Needle
so like
shop.
I don't know what you'd call it, structure that carries up into the circular part. That's full of wigs?
No, at the base of it, there's a store. That's where you would find your wigs. And also they made up like the story of the Space Needle pins where they said, oh, we found this supply of Space Needle pins that were here. Then they were supposed to be sold the very first day the Space Needle was ever open. And here's the original packaging. You can buy the original pin and packaging. And you look at it, and clearly it describes the restaurant. On this so-called original packaging, there is no restaurant in the Space Needle for 5 years.
Well, that's more than I've ever cared to know about the Space Needle. I just thought it was full of a bunch of unsold wigs.
No. Remember the wood party that used to be around in the colonial American time?
Wigs?
Yes, it was the Wig Party, spelled W-H-I-G.
No, I don't mean it's full of a bunch of former U.S. patriots. I mean, like, wigs. You know, like sharewares. Wigs.
Huh. Yeah, they'd be in the store.
Yeah, it's with nothing in the storage is in that deal.
Yeah, they'd be in the store, because what you do, you walk into the base, and there's the store. And there's a desk there, and then there's an elevator, and the elevator will take you to the restaurant. And if you buy, like, one of the... No, there's no wigs in the restaurant. Now,
no?
If you pay the high-priced observation fee, you can continue on to the observation deck and look around the city from the observation deck of the Space Needle. Now, do you recall the episode of WWE, I believe it was Experience, when they showed Edge dining at the Space Needle?
Nope.
He said he was going to find out how much a $27 hamburger cost. Turns out it was mediocre, he said.
I'm sure it was, because it was all made of wigs. That
no,
food
it was
is just...
It was an actual hamburger, but, you know, the food's
well,
up and down
I've
there from what
I've been misinformed, okay? I've clearly been misinformed, but I still believe it's full of wigs. Let's move on. My final like, John Cena's ill-fitting clothing. I love how every suit I've ever seen John Cena wear has apparently come straight off the rack at the warehouse. He's got no time for tailoring. He's got no time for trying clothing on. Just grab something two sizes larger than your normal size so you know it'll fit and go. It's great. Biggest star in the WWE in years. He just wears the sloppiest, grossest, dirty suits. So good work, John Cena. Your ill-fitting clothing is my number three.
To be fair, his T-shirt and shorts that he wore at the Comic-Con fit.
Yeah, because he probably takes the time to try those on. He's like, I just don't have time for these goddamn suits. I'm going to grab one that's two sizes too big, so if I gain muscle or whatever, it'll still fit, and I won't have to try it on because I know it won't be too tight. Well, there we go. That has to be what he does.
It's a possibility. That or he just has a personal assistant that buys the suit, and the personal assistant's like, oh, so you don't want to give me health insurance, huh? You don't want to give me a 401k, huh? Here's your suit.
He has no clue. He just has no clue when he puts it on. Or do you think he feels the shame when he wears them? I don't think he does.
He's probably like, hey, this suit's a little big. And the assistant's like, well, don't worry about it. No one will notice. And John Cena's like, you don't think so? And the guy's like, no one can see you. And John's like, oh, you're right.
That's the plot. That's the spot to end this show. You just won with that joke. Nothing we can say.
I don't
say
think
it's
a joke. I think that's what really happens.
I know. And I know. I know. And nothing we can say will be better than that. So let's just give it the rest there. What do you got going on?
Well, Friday on Sun Guy's Wrestling Show, we have Francisco Chiazzo, who's done TV spots for most of the televised companies. He's called the King of the South, apparently. Veteran of the business, he'll be on. Saturday, I'll be filming episode 204 of The Sign of the Times. It happens to be Mini Beast's birthday.
Oh. You know?
So I don't know if it'll happen or not, but imagine his favorite sports entertainer, Buddy Highway, once again appearing on the episode of The Sign of the Times.
That would mean a lot to him.
It really would, although we did have him just pop up at random in episode 202.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. And Sunday on Turnbuckle, we have Muddy Waters, who is out of the state of Delaware, wrestles for all the companies up there in the fine state of Delaware.
Uh-huh. Is that it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. We've got our big Halloween performance coming up this Sunday at the Powerhouse Brewing Company in Columbus, Indiana. I was told Total Diva Olympian Zane Paisley is going to be there to enjoy this performance, where we, the Razor Ramones, will be performing as the Misfits. And so that makes a lot of sense. It should be a good time. And by all, November 14th, We have a huge, huge show in Richmond, Indiana, home of my wife, as well as Jim Jones, the cult leader of the Jonestown cult in Guyana. He's from Richmond as well, so come enjoy that. A lot of bands playing. I don't know who they are, but we got that going on. It's almost Halloween, son. Guy, what are you going to dress up as for Halloween?
Well, I'm not sure, because, you know, no one ever comes to the house for the trick-or-treating here. It's been years since we had a single trick-or-treater.
That's very sad.
It's been years. Years.
Oh.
And the last time we did have a trick-or-treater, they asked me, trick-or-treat. So I thought it over. I decided I'd go with the treat, so I gave them their treat. And then this adult they were with just glared at me and said, I think that's spicy. I don't like that. But still put it in the bag and just glared at me. I'm like, I'm not the one going door to door begging for food.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Let's call it a day. Till next time, don't give out spicy treats to homeless children. We'll see you here and throw these the same guy Rex. Later.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time for the dude show to start. Ba-ba-da-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-